In this episode, I'm going to show you how to be a forward thinker, why early birds get the worm, and how you can position yourself to always learn from developing market trends.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by WireBuzz.
Heyo! All right, I've got a lot of interesting news coming up for you, things that are developing very fast in the world of video marketing. That'll all be coming up in just a moment. Had a great run in the desert this morning. On my run, I did see on the street side, there were photo radar officers on motorcycles that were taking out their radar guns and trying to give people tickets. So when I came up on my run, I waved at them from, you know, in the distance and asked them to gun me. And then I went into a full-on Todd Hartley sprint. I looked like Usain Bolt, except I was going maybe one-fifth of the speed. And they did. They pulled out their gun, but I didn't stop to ask because, candidly, I think I would have been disappointed regardless what my speed was. But that's how a great morning gets started as the sun's coming up over the desert. Now, how cool is this email I received? Hello, Todd. I'm a student from, and I'm not going to mention the school, a secondary school in Quebec, Canada, and have taken great interest in your mini course on how to guarantee videos generate ROI. So I shared it with my media class. We study algorithms and effective marketing, etc., and we have made it routine to watch one of your videos each day. The students enjoy the clarity in the way you speak and find it very easy to understand you. And we've found many connections between your course and ours and have decided to use it as a source that'll be used in our final exam. Thank you for providing this amazing resource. Hopefully, this will be something that we can share with you later on. Signed, Skyla. Absolutely, Skyla. Totally made my day. The team in the office loved hearing from you. And on a personal note, I've got a niece named Skyla. Love the name. Beautiful. Thanks for reaching out and for making our day so special, Skyla. Now, it's cool. It's really cool to hear from all of you. And even more awesome when I get to meet you in person. No BS. You know, I love knowing that you're out there. I love hearing about your businesses. And to be frank, when I was a talk show host, none of my listeners, when I met them, none of them had a single teeth. They didn't have any teeth. And you guys like floss. You know how cool that is to have followers that floss? Awesome. Love hearing from you. If you're like Skyla and you want to figure out how to guarantee your videos generate a return on investment, all you have to do is do what Skyla did. Go to wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. And right there, you will see that I've created a 5-part web-based mini course where I teach the secrets to guaranteeing your videos generate a return on investment. Hey, Jeff Bezos, what have you done to the nearly perfect brand of Whole Foods, dude? How could you have missed the mark so badly? You know, I've got a Whole Foods that's like a block and a half from my house and about 4 blocks from the office and a third of a block from my gym. So I'm at Whole Foods like all the time. And I love the brand. I mean, traditionally, it's been one of the greatest brands of all time. They just get their audience. Their audience likes food with real ingredients that don't have pesticides, things that are organic or not processed. And basically, my diet's really simple. If it's got a mother or it comes out of the earth, I eat it. Everything else, like if it's in wrapped or processed or in a package, ain't going in me. It's got a bunch of sugar, ain't going in me. All right. My brain barely works. And if I start pumping it full of things, ingredients that aren't whole foods, I'm going to have a problem. Right. So I don't know how Jeff Bezos could have missed the mark so badly on Whole Foods. Had you ever even been inside of a Whole Foods, Jeff Bezos, prior to purchasing it? It feels like everything inside that store is off brand. The signs, the little messages, the notifications of what register you're at, instead of being something that looks organic or is made from calming tones. It's the opposite. Really miss the mark, Jeff Bezos. And inside of the lobby are these like pick up your Amazon package box stations. And then you go down to these end caps on aisles and you can get like an Alexa or something Amazon related. It's so strange. Totally missed the mark, dude. Apple versus Amazon has been in the news. And if you're looking for some context to be able to evaluate the difference between the two businesses, the size difference, Amazon and let's say Apple, well, Apple made more profit in 3 months, in just 3 months, than Amazon has generated in its entire lifetime. CNBC reports Apple is vastly more profitable than Amazon. The smartphone maker generated $48.35 billion in profit during its fiscal 2017. TV timeout. $48 billion in profit in fiscal 2017 and made $13 billion in net income between March 2018, that quarter, while Amazon's total net income since inception is about $9.6 billion. Now, Amazon, to me, is, I don't know, they've gotten some help from friends in high places, because while everybody signed up for Amazon Prime and thought they were getting a Prime deal for having their shipping sent to them, Amazon gets paid by the USPS, the US Postal Service, $1.48 for every package that you get sent. Amazon gets paid by the post office every time you use their service, right? That's a Prime deal. Now, that's what happens when you get friends in high places and they create a crony benefit for you. Friends in high places come with certain responsibilities. You got to pay those friends back. Be interesting to find out how Amazon is paying them back. Now, in my closet, I have 14 hats. None of them are tinfoil hats. 12 of them are University of Arizona hats because the U of A believed in me when nobody else did. And when my learning disabilities were at their peak, the U of A stepped up and turned my life around, and I rep the U to evangelize for the life-changing education that they received. So I have 12 U of A hats, 14 total. The crazier the hat, the better. And I've got one hat from a porn company. Really, it's super funny. But when you speak in an event, they often give you like a gift basket. You know, and another speaker that day was from one of the largest porn content creation companies in El Mundo. So when I got back home and I opened up my gift bag from the day, sure enough, there was a porn company hat, and I'm trying to regift it, but I haven't found the right situation yet. Anyway, while we're talking about porn, I also spoke in an event with somebody from Pornhub's marketing blog. Their audience analytics analysis is hilarious. And I grew up in LA during the last days of analog and the birth of digital. And if you grow up in Rome during the 1700s, the Vatican would lead cultural innovation. I grew up in LA, and the leaders in the digital era have always been deep inside the porn industry. If you really want to know where online marketing and content marketing is headed, the porn digital marketing conferences are easily 16 months ahead. You know, we just had a Wirebuzz happy hour as a team in honor of Annette Mattern's fourth year at the company. She's our director of initiative. She's involved in a lot of projects here at Wirebuzz. And we also celebrated Marcus Krieg's sixth year with the company and all the fun, amazing projects we've been able to do together. Marcus is the person that I've worked with longer in my life than anyone. And I hired him on his 23rd birthday. I know, because the day I called was actually his 23rd birthday. And he, the first week or the second week, he said to me, if I want to be great, who should I study? What should I read? So I gave him a list of like 15 thought leaders that I regularly follow. And within like 7 months, Marcus was crushing digital marketing and had the terminology under his belt. And it was just really impressive to watch. Hey, as I say this, Thomas in Sweden, I know I promised you a list of some of those names of people to follow. I'll put it on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/153, all right? And you can get access to it there, and anybody else that wants to look at that information, who you should follow, we'll put it up on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/153. And while we were at happy hour, a special thank you to the waiter who just came over and totally made my wife's day when you complimented her on her level of fitness and how great and how cut her arms looked, and then turned towards me and said, "But you're really more my flavor." people were like, "Are they not working nowadays? Like, how do you just walk around and like graphically flirt with your guests in the middle of their own business meeting?" Anyway, really interesting to watch that go down just when I thought my wife was the center of... Anyway, it was just really odd. Video and Google are in the news. In Gadget reports, Google News is getting a major refresh, pulling its features from YouTube and Play Newsstand, magazine's app, in a modernized product. Now, according to Ad Age, Google has been in talks with publishers over the update, which is expected to debut at the I.O. Developer Conference, which we've already seen it roll out. Wirebuzz is already using it. The revamp will consolidate Google's various news services. Play Newsstand is likely to close as part of the move, with Google News getting a new app, and the rework will add YouTube's news section and incorporate the AMP technology, advanced mobile pages, that Google uses to load pages faster on mobile. Wait a minute, that's what I just said. The company, Google, is also investing $300 million to combat the menace of fake news. Good luck with that. Tracking measures like refusing to show search results for publishers that mask their country of origin. Whoa, Nelly, hold everything. This one is coming back. I'm doing a podcast episode in here. Oh, no, I wasn't yelling Morgan. I was doing my Keith Jackson impression. Hold everything. This one is coming back, the Alabama Crimson Tide with the football. Look, this is what happens when you do the podcast in your office and you've got a glass door and you go all Keith Jackson. People in the office start thinking you're losing your marbles. Check this out. Google just said they're investing $300 million to combat the menace of fake news. Dun, dun, dun. This probably passed right by you, but not me. You know, I've been around the block with Google News a few times on this topic. Besides immersing myself in the foundations of SEO and content marketing, one of the ways my news site back in 2001 was generating 36 million visitors a year for free, my site was one of the first to earn the designation of an elite news site selected by Google News. And over the years that followed, I got at least 15 of my clients selected and indexed and flowing with massive amounts of traffic from Google News. So I know the selection process intimately. Noticed how I said process, right? Now let's rewind. A little bit further. The company is also investing $300 million to combat the menace of fake news, taking measures like refusing to show search results for publishers that mask their country of origin. Wait a second here. My journalistic spider senses, they're starting to tingle. Wow. All right, if you go through the Google News selection process, they should already be vetted. Got it? Google vets everyone. They curate a directory of news sites that they select. So they're investing $300 million to combat the menace of, of publishers that mask their country of origin. All right. Well, there's something fishy going on there. It just doesn't sound normal. Now, speaking of Google News, Google teased a new version of its app with AI smarts. It's already rolled it out, and the revamped app recently landed in iOS and Android devices in 127 countries. The redesign app replaces the Google Play Newsstand app. Now, the idea is to make finding and customizing news easier than ever, while providing an experience that customizes to each reader the support of media publications. The AI element is designed to learn from what you read to help you serve a better selection process over time, while the app is presented with clear and clean layouts. TechCrunch wrote this article. I'll put it on the show notes page for this episode for you. And as you would imagine, I've already been using the Google News app, the new one with the AI. Couple of business takeaways for you. One, early adopter advantage is always great. So I use the Google News app. And if I pop through my topics right now for you that I have selected inside of my Google News app, it's how I pull together information about the industry. It's how I'm in a consistent path of learning. My topics are, this is just me going and revealing them to you, but my topics, come on now, Google News, don't screw up with me. It's so funny. They are Google Video, Facebook Video, YouTube Marketing, Video Marketing. These are just search phrases. And it curates all the latest news. Twitter video, Snapchat video, you get the picture, right? And then I've also got things like search engine optimization or content marketing, conversion optimization. I have terms in there that I know that I want to learn for. I want to make sure that I'm up to speed on. So when I see that news is happening in those topics, all I'm doing, and I get it in my phone. So if I'm waiting for my wife who just ran into a store, I open up my Google News app and I start to pop through my news stories and the ones that I like, that is something that should be valuable enough for you to hear, ends up going into my notes section. And then I pull together a script for the episode. But your business takeaway should be, early adopt every new technology that could have a potential relevance to your business. The reason is, well, as if you're an early adopter, early adopters have multiple advantages. One, you get to learn about things before others, and then instantly people look at you as the guru, and now you're on stage teaching it. When Google Plus came out, Mark Traphagen is a senior evangelist for Stone Temple Consulting. He's a good friend of the podcast, but he's also one of the rock stars of social media and search optimization. And so Mark and I were speaking about Google Plus back in the day. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, that was a waste of time. You guys invested time in a platform that ended up not having long-term viability. Yeah, well, we've invested our time in a lot of platforms, but it also got us access to Google, and it got them to know about us and Google to market us. And Google paid for a vast majority of my marketing for my client campaigns because they knew about me, they followed me, they were rooting for me. And if you can be an early adopter on somebody's new platform, and it's not Google News, but it might be something like, you know, maybe it's, maybe it's Musical.ly. If you've got a music brand that you're trying to develop. But if you're an early adopter and you're using their platform the right way and you get speaking appearances, there is an opportunity, or you're creating videos where you're teaching people, they will reach out to you, not only potential clients, but the actual site themselves, like Google or Instagram or Facebook, they will reach out to you. Google booked me for so many events to get up there and to talk about it. And because I was an early adopter, it would have never happened any other way. I know Mark Trapagan and I both spoke in together on the same podium in Silicon Valley. And then when I got off the podium, Google invited me to their headquarters so I could meet their staff who was in the room that saw the speech. And then I got advanced notice on a lot of things. So when Google rolled out Hangouts on Air, they reached out to me and asked me if I would host their World Cancer Day broadcast. Oh God, you're going to love this. Coming up in a near episode, you're going to hear from Dr. Jay Harness, a past president of the American Society of Breast Surgeons. And Dr. Harness and I were asked to host Google's World Cancer Day broadcast, which we gladly did. And we interviewed giants in the fight against cancer on every continent around the world on World Cancer Day, except the icy continent at the bottom. And it was a huge event. And Google marketed and promoted us. We even went to multiple cancer conferences, and Google sponsored our live broadcasts. And that's how Google knew that I had the street creds and the chops to do a live broadcast. So when it was the 50th anniversary of the JFK's assassination in Dallas in Daley Plaza, Google had me go there and host the live broadcast on their behalf. All of that happened from Early Adopter Advantage. Google News, for me, tapping into a large source of traffic. That all happened because I was an early bird. Those advantages don't exist anymore. So whenever you hear that I'm talking about these opportunities or these new technologies or LinkedIn now having video ads, I teed you off about this. I want to spend a few moments talking about it. It is so damn important that if you hear about what's going on, if you hear about new advantages that are happening, that you jump on them right away, because it can change a career. And I am proof about Early Adopter Advantage. LinkedIn just made video ads available. And because very few businesses have started running ads, KLM, the airlines, was able to get video ads on LinkedIn at 63% lower cost per view than on other platforms like Facebook. This comes right out of an Ad Exchanger article on the topic. Now, this is a rare opportunity and only available to fast early adopters who want to influence their target customers, and it's only available for people who don't delay. If you lollygag, if you wait for somebody else, if you're a procrastinator, what you're really doing is giving somebody else your early adopter advantage. Shame on you. And then you wonder why. Oh, marketing never works, or this tactic never works. Once it becomes saturated, it's less effective. But if you get on things early, you can ride them out. Like, I rode Google News for a good 6 years, and it pumped a ton of traffic my way. Good friend of the podcast, Barry Schwartz, the world's leading Google search reporter, is reporting in Search Roundtable. I'll put a link to this article. Google said you can now upload videos to your Google posts so they show up in your local panel. I, along with many local SEOs, this is Barry Schwartz, have been trying this feature daily and has been sporadically working on and off. Well, now, at least at the moment, it seems it is fully functioning, and now you can add Google posts with video messages in your Google My Business section of Google Posts. Early adopter advantage. I'm willing to tell you there's probably 100 businesses in this world that are doing that right now, right? If you jump on it early, when somebody Googles your name and they're going through images, there could also be video there. And we know people are 4 times more likely to watch video. We know people will have better engagement around it, and you can educate them, and you can have an early adopter advantage. Don't delay. If you delay, you're a big dork. Recode wrote an article this week about how Twitter's been highlighting its video ad business during earning calls for years. Now, video ads have consistently been the company's, quote, largest revenue generator. And as early as 2016, they saw it this way. Now, video ads don't just generate a lot of money for Twitter. They generate the majority of the company's advertising revenue. Why? Because video is so much more powerful. It's so much more compelling. Twitter said this week that video ad revenue makes up more than 50% of its ad revenue, something that actually happened in Q4, but was only made public until this week as part of the Q1 earnings. Now, that means Twitter made a minimum of $287 million on video ads last quarter. Now, even though Twitter is often considered a distant third in the social video space behind YouTube and Facebook, maybe it's even fourth behind Snapchat, the article says. Video ads have clearly become a very important part of Twitter's business. You'll hear a lot about it as the company presents all of the video shows that the projects that it's been creating in the new fronts that are coming up. Fitbit is in the news. Fitbit added a menstrual cycle tracking program to its smartwatch app. Now that's interesting. Wait. Will Fitbit allow women to send menstrual cycle alerts to their husbands? Now that would be brilliant. TechCrunch is reporting. Notable is reporting. A new startup digitizing the company through automatic recording of doctor visits and updating of electronic health records is launching its first product with Apple Watch. It could be a boon for a busy doctor who spends more than 10 hours a week on paperwork and administration rather than treating patients. People have absolutely zero memory. I'm totally sure of it. You know, reading from a completely different TechCrunch article, hacker Ryan Collins pleaded guilty to stealing a number of nude photos, including ones from Jennifer Lawrence from Apple's server. You may remember this. He was snarled in by the FBI, and in the process of the trial, it became clear that the hack didn't involve Apple's services that we were all told originally being comprised through brute force or password cracking, but rather that they were a result of social engineering in the form of a phishing attack. You know what phishing is? Wikipedia explains it this way. Phishing is an attempt to obtain sensitive information such as usernames and passwords and credit card details and money and often malicious reasons by disguising as a trustworthy entity in the electronic communication. Now you remember, at least you should, if you have a memory, and most don't, that all of these famous female celebrities got their nude photos taken, right? And they got published online. Now back to the TechCrunch article. At the time when the celebrity nude images were leaked online, rumors were running wild that Apple's iCloud services had crumbled under brute force password hacking attacks. Now Apple denied this at the time, and nobody believed them, and Apple claimed that the hacks were more likely a phishing scam. Well, it's now become clear that this was actually the case, and if people had a memory, they would be demanding the industry should protect them against future phishing attacks before Fitbit adds an app for menstrual cycle monitoring or Notable provides safe automatic doctor records sent to the Apple Watch. Nearly 2 years ago, I told you Apple should be making user security one of their most pressing issues. There's absolutely no reason why they aren't providing some type of default solution for securing the webcam and the mic. Look, the device company that first wins securing personal information for their users and makes it a priority, they're going to rule the next 15 years, and the people who care about it, if they had a memory, would rally behind a company like that, right? Securing personal information. On the last couple of episodes, I've talked about it. PHI, personal health information, actually portable health information, right? And how our clients have to deal with it all the time. I don't know how these technology companies can get away with allowing all their devices to be leaked or hacked or tapped into. Do you remember back in episode 149, I told you that Ford, the motor company, is launching an on-demand transportation service for non-emergency medical needs. Now, this idea from Ford is to better help patients get to their doctor appointments. Ford is initially launching this partnership with Beaumont Health in Michigan to serve more than 200 facilities. I need to unpack this for you. There's a lot going on inside of my brain, all right? So let's spend a few moments and we're going to break that down. First, Dr. Jay Harness, past president of the American Society of Breast Surgeons, second reference in this episode, which you'll hear from in a future episode. I've already recorded the interview with Dr. Harness. He's a major mentor in my life. I know him well enough to know that Dr. Harness started his illustrious medical career. He's one of the world's leading rock stars in the fight against breast cancer. And Dr. Harness started his career as a college or high school student at Beaumont Health in Michigan. And I think he knew the daughter of the president or the owner or something of the hospital. I've heard some stories over the years, so I can't confirm anything. And the other part is Ford is launching this on-demand transportation service for non-medical needs. One of my first jobs in college was driving for a company that my stepmom worked for. She got me the job. I had nothing to do with it, didn't even want a job. But she got me a job driving an actual ambulance for patients that were going to doctor's appointments for non-medical or non-emergency needs. And for $4 an hour, I drove that vehicle around Tucson. Look, my business takeaway here is start making a habit of recognizing business opportunities that are not directly with your business, but they're related, right? It just might help you sell a whole lot more. I mean, think about this. Lyft, right out of TechCrunch, is committing $1.5 million to its Relief Rides program. The idea has historically been to better support people during times of crisis, such as natural disasters and other emergency situations. And now Lyft is expanding its reach to help people who may need rides to job interviews or medical appointments. Now, if you had a memory, you know why Lyft has been riding the do-good train as of late, in January of just this year, 2018. I know because my brain is good. Oh, and I Googled it. TechCrunch wrote an article saying Lyft staffers have been abusing customer insight software to view the personal contact info and ride history of the startup's passengers. One source that formerly worked with Lyft tells TechCrunch that widespread access to companies' back end lets staffers see pretty much everything, including feedback and, yes, pick up and drop off coordinates. Now, when asked if staffers ranging from core team members to customer service reps abuse this privilege, the source said, quote, "Hell yes. I definitely looked at my friend's rider history and looked at what drivers said about them. I never got into trouble." Put that on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/153. And your business takeaway is if your business gets into a PR crisis, all you have to do is create a goodwill, positive PR campaign, because nobody will ever remember just 3 months later that you were spying on them. Same is true with Ford Motor Company. If you've got a business of selling cars, start thinking about a second business that you could start that would allow you to sell more cars, right? That's how you do it. Whenever you read one of these articles, always ask yourself, don't just read the article, turn it into an exercise. What else can I think? What can I learn from this? How can I learn from what Ford or Lyft is doing? And how do I lift that up and see if it works for my company, my clients, their product, their service? Use it as an exercise. It'll help you in the long run. TechCrunch had an interesting article about where the Uber and Lyft businesses are headed. And I strongly encourage you to read articles outside your industry that detail anything with the future. So when you see an article that's like, where's Uber and Lyft headed in the future? And that is a free opportunity for you. And I strongly encourage it. Reason, if you get a moment to visualize where businesses are going, it's really easy then to transfer that forward-thinking vision into your own business or industry. The clearest vision for your business's future doesn't happen when you're sitting in the conference room surrounded by your team. It happens when you are daydreaming. So use business articles about the future and research and about development as your opportunity to exercise or see down the road where business is headed. It is an invaluable habit. I've used it my whole career for forward thinkers and industry trailblazers to develop. For example, here's an interesting article. Uber Air is well on its way. Wait a second. This is out of TechCrunch. They've been crushing it in this episode. With the plan to start demonstrating the technology in 2020 and start operating a flying taxi service in 2023. Well, let me do the math. That's only 5 years away, homie. Think about that. In order to get there, it's going to need what Uber is calling skyports. So what are skyports? Areas for these electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles to board and onboard passengers. These are like they're not airports. They're not more train stations. They're just areas that, well, I'll tell you right from an image off of this article. Now I can visualize it. If I didn't visualize it, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But I want you to think of like a wedding cake, and it's a building. And on each level of the wedding cake, there are these little patios that come out where a Uber Air could land and take off. They don't need a runway. They just need a helicopter pad. So these are like little helicopter pads that come out off the side of a wedding cake that by 2023 is going to be servicing people. It's pretty awesome, right? Areas for these electric vehicle takeoff and landing to board and onboard passengers. On day two of Elevate, Uber's architect and design partners revealed their concepts for skyports. All skyport concepts are required to be able to support more than 4,000 passengers per hour within a 3-acre footprint. That's a lot of people. And skyports must also ensure electronic VTOLs. I don't know. I'm just going to guess what that is. Vertical takeoff lift vehicle, something like that. And places where they can recharge VTO. Oh, it's an electric VTO. I'm going to look up VTOL. Just bear with me for a second. This should be interesting. Let's see how far off I am, because that may be what you plug in an electric vehicle on. And because I don't have one. Okay. Here it is. It's electric vehicle takeoff and landing. Hello. I got it right the first time. While all of these skyports are structurally feasible, financially feasible for cities is an entirely different story. Anyway, here's a look at some new skyport concepts from Corgan, a design architecture firm, and I will put it on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/153. Now, as a forward thinker, you should be saying to yourself, if we're all going to be flying around in Uber taxis, where are they going to take off and land? You know, that requires a special type of facility. And then transfer that forward thinking vision into your business or your industry. Now, for me, I'd say something like, if everyone's business is going to be needing video to communicate their message, then that requires unique and different technology for sales teams to track, convince, and convert. So what would that look like? You see what I'm doing? I'm just thinking about what the future is. Got it? Whatever it's going to develop, the best ideas you advance forward in your business, in your industry, it's going to be different than in mine, but leverage these business stories about the future to sharpen your vision on what the road ahead is. Make sense? And this reminds me of when I was an investigative reporter on the number one and number two stations in Arizona, News Radio 550, KFYI, and News Radio 620, KTAR. And I saw the future plans for what has become a major freeway through the heart of Phoenix, Arizona. And the politician who showed it to me was probably trying to curry favors because that's what they do. And he said something like, "Hey, take a very good look at this map, Todd. You should be thinking, how can I buy up land at all of the on-ramps and off-ramps where the freeway is going to be built in the next 5 years? That's how you make money off of what's coming next. You position yourself to prosper from the road ahead." And then he said, "But don't study it too long. We've already purchased all the available property." He's talking physical land, and I'm trying to teach you how to use forward vision as your opportunity to see where the next great revenue is going to be coming from. And if you have a memory, you'd recall that. In episode 148, I mentioned market research firm Slice Intelligence estimates HomePod only makes up 4% of the speaker market, the smart speaker market, while Amazon and Amazon Echoes has reportedly gobbled up 73%, and Google Home holds 14% of the smart speaker market. Now, Google Home controls 73% of the market, and it totally makes sense when you hear TechCrunch explain Google is betting big on the Assistant Echo system, and it's now putting its money where its mouth is. The company announced today it's launching a new program that'll provide investment capital and other resources to early stage startups that build applications in the Google Assistant ecosystem. Damn, this is a TechCrunch article too. They were in crush mode. Your business takeaway, it should be obvious. Whenever you see a major brand creating a new technology platform or a new social network or a new device, you need to realize that means opportunities for partnership, all right? When Google Plus was launched, I told you my story. They pumped millions of followers my way. My campaigns were all made recommended follows. And when Google started Hangouts with Air, I told you the story earlier. And if you had a memory, you'd remember of all those amazing opportunities that came my way. And if I was going to speak at a conference about Google or Facebook, I would talk to their executives about my speech. I'd say, "Hey, I'm going to be speaking in a month. I've already got the speech. Do you have time? I'd love to share with you what I'm going to say and ask for any modifications in advance that could help present your product in a better light." Each and every time, those executives carved out time. Why? Because they knew I'd be speaking in front of 1,000 people or 2,000 people. And if they could help me see the bigger picture, it would help them tremendously. It's the best advertising they could ever come with, right? As for additional tips or tricks or show them my organic case study results, I would do that, right? I'd show them, "Look, here's my case studies that I have. These are all organic." And then I'd ask if they were happy with my organic results numbers. Or should they apply a bit more gas to my campaign prior to my conference date? Basically, I would say, "How great do you want my case study to be?" So when you see Google is investing, oh, by the way, and they always applied more gas. Because just like you and just like me, these people are all super competitive. And I was the benefactor for it. But you have to recognize these opportunities are limited. If I went to Google today and asked for extra gas applied to my Google Plus or my Hangout on Air tactics, there'd be no interest today. Those are small windows of opportunity, and you have to jump on them early. So when you see Google is investing in early stage startups that use assistants, that Google is looking for startups that are pursuing an interesting space for assistants, such as vertical industries like travel or gaming, and you see that in the article. In addition, Google's looking to deepen some of its partnerships, but for the most part, it's simply looking for startups that are pushing technologies like assistant forward, you should be asking yourself, is there anything I'm already doing that could be integrated into Google Assistant? And if so, how do I get my hands on some early stage Google investment? Or how do I get my hands on some early stage Google marketing or publicity? Because when they roll these things out, and I know from working with them, that they also have not only the product team, but the product team's working with a PR team. The PR team is looking for remarkable projects, campaigns, technology that's using Assistant or Gmail, or let's say if they're working currently on some other Google technology, right? They have a PR team that's working with them, that's helping them take these people that they're meeting along the way, and then they champion their stories. How do you think I did it with my breast cancer campaigns to get to so many people, right? How do you think I did it and then replicated it with prostate and colon? I had Google in my ear, and I shared with them what I was working on. Google needed positive PR for these campaigns. They needed news stories written about them. And then Google and their brand manager would introduce me to the PR team. And the PR team would push us out and present us. And you know what? Google can pay for your marketing. They will do it if it supports what they're doing, right? So that's how marketing masters play this game. Got it? And while we're talking about personal voice activated assistants, I saw this. Researchers at UC Berkeley have shown that they can embed within songs stealthy commands. For popular voice assistants that can prompt platforms like Siri or Alexa or Google Assistant to carry out actions without humans getting wise to what is going on. The research reported earlier by the New York Times is the most actionable evolution of something security researchers have been showing great interest in, fooling Siri. I saw this in Yahoo Finance. Last year, researchers at Princeton University demonstrated that voice recognition systems could be activated by using frequencies inaudible to the human ear. The attack first muted the phone so the owner wouldn't hear the system's response, right? Now, the technique, with Chinese researchers have called dolphin attack, can instruct smart devices to visit malicious websites, initiate phone calls, take a picture, or send text messages. While dolphin attack has its limitations, the transmitter must be close to the receiver's device, and experts warned the more powerful ultrasonic systems were possible, right? Dolphin attack. Use that in a sentence. Now, before I went all dolphin attack on you, I was talking about related products that are slightly outside of your business niche. Yahoo Finance reports refueling your Chevy car or truck is about to get a little easier with the launch of Chevy's new in-dash payment system. The service, which is being beta tested right now in the D, Detroit, Seattle, and H-Town, Houston, is part of General Motors GM's marketplace commerce platform that'll allow drivers to pay for their gas from inside their vehicles via their infotainment system. Everybody wants to be the one to get that little service percentage, right, from the transaction. The in-dash service will only be available at participating Shell stations in the near term, but it'll reach all stations by the end of the year. Now, Chevy says it's also working with ExxonMobil to bring the service to that company's gas stations, though no timetable has been announced. To make in-car payments, you'll have to download and open the Shell app, which will then send your location without any privately identifiable information directly to Shell, so it knows which station you're at. Continuing on with Yahoo Finance, then you tap the pay and save your vehicle's display. And after choosing the payment method that you want to use, you'll receive a 3-digit code for the pump at which you'll be refueling. Now you'll go to the pump, you'll enter in the code, and you'll start refueling. And the feature even lets you use your Shell Fuel Rewards Program. Dun, dun, dun. So Is there a related business opportunity that complements your business that you could create that would help you sell more of your primary business? I want you to think about that. It doesn't come overnight. It actually happens when you're daydreaming, which means maybe when you're running, when you're driving, you're listening to music, or maybe when your spouse is talking. Aight? Hey, check this out. Facebook. Facebook is building Clear History, a new privacy feature allowing users to delete data Facebook has collected from sites and apps that use its ad and analytic tools. If you had a memory, you would know that Facebook is embroiled in a very large scandal that involves Cambridge Analytica and how their individual data was used in the 2016 election by the Trump administration. But if you really had a memory, you would know that the same thing happened in 2012 with the Obama administration, but nobody seems to want to talk about that, except people in my industry that in 2012 were on stages at marketing conferences bragging about it, but who really can remember that? And this means that you can scrub some of your browsing history from Facebook's data store. Mark Zuckerberg liked this to deleting cookies from your browser history. It's a nice gesture to privacy conscious, though it'll make your Facebook experience less personalized, TechCrunch says. Why? Facebook faced tons of questions from Congress about data it collects from around the web, and users were pissed to learn they had little control over it. Clear History could quiet some crisis for regulation, but I'll tell you, you're better off having a great memory. You'll know what's going on. And then soon Facebook's going to roll out one of these voice activated services, you know, like having Alexa in your room. And they've been delaying it because they're trying to win over your good graces before they reintroduce the next layer of privacy violations into your home. WhatsApp CEO and co-founder John Comb is leaving the company due to disagreements with its parent Facebook, the Washington Post reports. And they were the first to report on Monday afternoon that Comb reportedly took issue with Facebook's plans to use WhatsApp's user data and weaken its encryption. So interesting. One of the things that makes or made WhatsApp so special was the encryption, right? It was a secure platform for communication. And when I was in Europe, it was surprising that how many people, when I looked over their shoulder, were using WhatsApp not only as their text messaging, but also as their primary phone. Oh, them times they are a-changing. And it's just like Jeff Bezos taking over Whole Foods. If you don't understand the charm of WhatsApp and why people are gravitating towards it, and you don't understand that people are concerned about privacy, and you do realize that people have a very short memory and you can exploit that, then it really doesn't matter if you weaken WhatsApp's user data encryption technology and provide it and make it available, because there's something really strange going on in our culture. You'll be better off if you strengthen your memory and you hold these people accountable. That is part of the process. You know, competition, one of the great things about it, competition breeds quality. It breeds lower prices, higher quality, and higher accountability. But if you don't hold people accountable, what good is it? There's no competition. You know, you are part of the checks and balances. Speaking of which, I saw this article in Search Engine Land. Google announced both on Twitter and in its forums that it'll notify customers and users who leave Google reviews on Google Local results after owners respond to their reviews. It's funny, right? Google has to announce this on Twitter because its Google Plus platform failed miserably. Reviewers will receive an email notification when a business responds. Google also plans to add mobile push notifications at a later date. Right now, it is an MVP, a minimally viable product. Marissa Nordhall, community manager at Google My Business, said when businesses respond to or update responses to customer reviews, the customer now receives an email notification. The business's response is published immediately, and 5 minutes later, the notification is sent. Now, this 5-minute delay allows time for the merchant to make any corrections to their response after submitting. Let me translate that for you. Google has built in a 5-minute CYA, cover your backside, functionality for a hothead business owner to think about what they just wrote, wait it out, talk to a friend, go back, edit, make a modification, and then send it out again. This notification email informs the customer of a reply of the review and contains a link to the page with the full owner's response. And in this episode, I brought you a ton of news about one of the most important business opportunities for you, which is how to recognize what are developing trends, how to look for opportunities down the road long before other people see it, and how and why you should be an early adopter. If this podcast episode was valuable to you, please make sure you go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play and subscribe. If you know people that would find it valuable, if you could help me spread the word. I know this is valuable information when I go and speak, when I get your emails. I need you on board. If you wouldn't mind, please be part of that army to go out and to let people know about the value of video marketing mastery and how it affects and improves your business or your decision-making process or helping you see market trends long before they develop. This is a real labor of love of mine. I love sharing this information. I love bringing it to you. Do me a solid. Make sure you share it with others. Spread the word. Tag me in it. I will send you a personal thank you. I can do that because I love interacting, and those of you that have reached out to me already know that I'm approachable and I enjoy it, and I just really look forward to hearing from your feedback. If you want to learn how to speed up your sales process, I have a 30-minute webinar that you can watch at any time, and it's free to the listeners of this podcast. You can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/speedo, right? Like the small, little, embarrassing Speedo bathing suits that people should never wear in public while standing out on the middle of the side of the road trying to attention hack. If you want to learn about what I learned while attention hacking on the side of a freeway in a blue Speedo, and you want to learn how to speed up your sales process, wirebuzz.com/Speedo is where that lives. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Every new episode goes up there. Do me a favor, follow me on LinkedIn. I post many of these in videos throughout the week because I'm trying to make sure that I give you the latest news and information so you could be a video marketing master.